Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
And now another story about harvesting waste heat. This time in Stockholm, Sweden, where the average winter temperature is below freezing. Commuters in Stockholm's central station bundle up to fend off the frigid climb. Now there are plans to use the heat their bodies generate in the station to warm a nearby building. Deutsche Welle Radio's Arni Kopamaki has a report.
250,000 people arrive at Stockholm Central Station every day. Mostly, they are in a hurry, since the Centralstation, as the locals call it, connects commuter trains to the municipal subway system. As the travelers race from one platform to the other in their thick winter jackets, the skins work like a giant radiator. One breath has a volume of about half a liter. 250,000 breaths, that's taking account of only one for each commuter on average day, amount to about 135 cubic meters. And this is more than just hot air. It's energy. And energy is money, explains construction manager Carl Sundtor.
This building doesn't really need heating because of all the people here. We got plenty, a lot of heat here that we just get rid of it out in the air. So instead of getting rid of that, we'll pump it over to that building over there. See it there?
He's pointing to a flat grey building squatting above the railway tracks.
You can see that all the windows are taken out and we're beginning to tear it down from the ceiling.
It's not really beautiful, I must say.
No, it's a quite ugly one. It's actually been named one of Stockholm's ugliest houses. It's like 25 years old, but it's got very bad isolation and it's very low to the roofs and the ceiling, so it's a bad building. We have tried to figure out how we could use it in other ways, but we found out that the best thing is to tear it down and build a new building up.
The new commercial building will be known as the Kungs Brewhaus. Carl Sundholm works for Jernhusen, a state-held private company which owns the Swedish railway stations and some of the buildings attached to them, for example, the Kungsbro plot. The principle of using hot air to generate energy is not in itself new. Warm air is collected and its energy transformed into hot water by a heat exchanger. But in this case, warm air produced by human bodies will be pumped to another building through a pipe several hundred meters long. The system is simple.
It's just a couple of pumps and some pipes. There's no special things needed. There are no rocket science, somebody said.
The recovery of body heat will provide about 15% of the heating energy needed for the 13-story, 40,000 square meter Kungs Brewhaus. The building will have parking lots and a hotel underground, shops on street level, and office space on the top. It will be finished in 2010, but Carl Sundholm already sees the ecological heating system as a way of attracting tenants.
This could be something that the ones who rent these offices could use as a marketing thing for themselves and for their customers. We're sitting in this house and we don't use as much energy that we would if we had sat in another house. So we're going to try to help the offices to work with their environmental issues as well.
Everybody is supposed to profit from their energy recycling, not least the environment. Therefore, the commuters providing the energy seem more than happy to contribute their body heat free of charge.
To use people's heat to heat up a building? Sounds nice. Ah, that's a good one. Environmental friendly, or?
2 hours ago, I was watching a movie about global warming, so I think that's a good idea.
Every pop counts, doesn't it? Just every bit helps.
I mean, you get it for free, so yeah, why not?
I think that's a very innovative, a creative solution, and it's cost-effective, and also it doesn't create much of an adverse effect to the environment at all. So I would say it's a pretty good way to go, as long as the government is not taxing us for that.
From the Centralstation, it's only a few hundred meters to the Swedish Ministry of the Environment. Political advisor Hannes Borg offers his visitor water from the tap. The ministry has abandoned bottled water because its transport causes unnecessary carbon dioxide emissions. It's merely a small gesture among a multitude of measures to protect the climate. All in all, the strategy seems to be successful, explains Borg.
Sweden is one of the few countries in the Western world that's managed to decrease our emissions of carbon dioxide. Meanwhile, the economy has grown, so we have managed to decouple emissions and economic growth.
In Sweden, the yearly amount of emissions can vary quite a bit, depending on the winter. In the cold northern climate, heating takes up a lot of the total energy consumption. Therefore, the Swedes rely on district heating in urban areas, where heat is distributed to the homes from a single energy-efficient plant. Body heat was first recycled in prototype houses, then in public buildings. This latest step takes it from one building to another. But the Swedes, says Hannes Borg, want to do more than that.
On the global scale, we only account for 0.2% of the carbon emissions. But one of the ambitions of the Swedish government is to establish good examples and good technologies for technology transfers to other countries. For example, if we can use our examples in district heating and renewable fuels and use them in, for example, China, where they build a new coal plant every week, then we can maybe take part in helping out with a solution on the global level. So it's not enough just to solve the problems at home. We have to help with the global solutions as well.
Knowing this, commuters at Stockholm Central Station can sit down and relax in the train, sweaty but happy to have done a good deed for the environment.
Our piece on hot Swedes came to us from Arni Kopamaki, courtesy of Deutsche Welle Radio. Coming up, diamonds are for never. Rice will suffice. Stay tuned to Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.